You know, it's been said that the number one thing that destroys a home, a family, is the tongue. It's been said that the number, Ellie, good to see you, praying for you, your husband. It's been said that the number one thing that runs children off, where they really don't want to come back to church. They don't want anything to do with the faith of their family, is the tongue of dad or mom. It's been said that the reason ministries don't grow is the tongue of the one in charge. Do we have notes? We don't. No notes. Okay. Yeah. It's been said that when someone will just constantly speak, always speaking, regardless of whether someone's interested in listening or not, it does a lot of damage. With that in mind, tonight I choose to speak from Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. You know, the greatest illustration to me of a person that knew right when to speak and when not to speak is Jesus. We'll mention a couple instances there in the scripture where he illustrates what we're looking at in Proverbs. Let me ask you this before we read the verse. Are there certain times when you and I are told in scripture not to give advice to someone? Think about it. Are you ever not to give advice? I mean, here's a person really messing up in his life. And would this be true? God would say to you, don't give him counsel. Just don't say anything. Don't. He's a fool. You're going to be doing him more damage than good by speaking to him. Is there anything in scripture that says that? Don't give him advice. Well, look at Proverbs 23 verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Father, we commit this time to you. I thank you for another opportunity to proclaim your truth. I thank you for those that are here tonight. They're here. They're thirsty for you. They want to know what you have to say. So God, I pray that you give wisdom, discernment. And we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So look at the verse. Let's get right into it again. At the end, I want you to highlight something that's said or a verse that really meant a lot to you that we looked at. I want you to be ready to share that. Or a comment that you would make. But the verse here is, speak not in the ears of a fool, for, and here's why, he will despise the wisdom of your words. What does that mean? It means this. Don't give advice to a fool, because he will hate what you are saying to him. What does that mean? Don't waste your time counseling with a person who really doesn't want to hear what God has to say. That person will despise the practical application of God's word that you're giving to him. That's similar to another verse. Turn to Proverbs 18, verse 2. Proverbs 18. We're going to stick in Proverbs. I'm going to give you a lot of verses from Proverbs. It's interesting. Sunday morning in Sunday school, we talked about wisdom, the wisdom literature. And Proverbs is really the greatest, I believe, book in the Bible. It gives pithy statements on wisdom, wise statements. But look at Proverbs 18, verse 2. It says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. So the thought of that verse is this. A fool has no desire to learn, no desire to gain insight from you or me. And when he gets into a group, all he does is blab. Well, let me explain further the verse. He's more interested in disclosing or publishing or revealing or uncovering his own feelings and desires. That's what that phrase means, that his heart may discover itself. He has no delight in understanding. Of course, you know the definition of understanding. Understanding is being able to see the future consequences of present action. I make a decision now, I know how it's going to affect me down the road. That's understanding. So he has no delight in that. He lives for now, but what he delights is that his heart may discover itself. Proverbs 9. It says, he that reproveth a scorner, that's a type of fool, getteth to himself shame. Proverbs 9, look at verse 7. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Oh, and I love this. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Now, verse 9, Proverbs 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Now, let's go to another verse. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 22. Proverbs 16, 22. We're going to look at the last part of the verse. It says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Now, look. But the instruction of fools is folly. The instruction of fools is folly. In the Hebrew, that's what this is written in. The word instruction means warning or constraint or restraint or disciplines. Anytime I see the word instruction in the book of Proverbs, I think of two words. Swift kick. The swift kick of fools is folly. It's like, you don't rebuke a fool. It's folly. And the word folly actually is a word in Hebrew which means silliness, foolishness, lack of good sense, insanity, absurdity. So what's a fool? Fools are those who say no to God. Those who say there's no God. A fool is someone who does not see things from God's point of view and actually lives his life from man's point of view. That's a fool. So, in the context of this verse, a fool does not have a wellspring of life, look at the first part, bubbling up in him. You're not going to be encouraged around a fool. He doesn't have the depth of wisdom and understanding in his life. A fool basically lives his life for now without any desire to discern good and evil, without any desire to stay away from sin. A fool has no desire to know God. Consequently, you give a fool a swift kick or chastisement, or godly discipline, or do you rebuke a fool? He's going to laugh at it. It's folly. He's going to scoff it. Scoff at it. To him, your rebuke is simple silliness. All right? One writer said, his only correction shall be when his own folly overthrows him. One writer, Alden, one of my favorite writers, he said this, since fools are unteachable, however, it's a waste of time to invest in their education. Yikes. Don't give him a scholarship. Don't pay his way through college. He has no desire to learn. He laughs at instruction and wisdom, understanding. I like what Matthew Henry said. He says, there's nothing that's good it to be gotten by a fool. Even his instruction, his actions, his solemn discourses are but folly like himself and tending to make others like him. When he does his best, it is but folly in comparison even with the common talk of a wise man who speaks better, and I love this phrase, who speaks better at the table than a fool in Moses' seat. Interesting. Now, what does that remind you of? Something Jesus said. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is really interesting. I'm not going to camp on it very long, but I just want to mention it. Look what he says, verse 6. Matthew 7, verse 6. And keep your finger there in Proverbs. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you, rip you apart." There is a time when you know God is saying, don't say anything. Don't offer your advice. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Now, I'm not calling people swine. Jesus did. All right? Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again now and rip you. That's exactly what we're talking about. So we've been commanded by Jesus to tell everyone the good news about himself, the gospel. But what if we're telling people and they're not receptive? Oh my. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Interesting verse. Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 14. Matthew 10, 14. Says, "And whosoever shall not receive you," it's Jesus speaking, and he's talking to his disciples. They're going into different villages, different cities. "Whosoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city," what? "Shake off the dust of your feet." Now, what on earth is he talking about there? Well, this is a reference of Jesus to an ancient custom taught by the Jewish scribes to the Jews. They taught this. They taught that the dust of heathen lands, it was on your clothing. It's like if COVID's on your clothing. It's defiling. If you're visiting a heathen country and then coming back into Israel, what are you to do? You're to get rid of the dust on your clothing, especially your sandals when re-entering. Why? They didn't want their land defiled. Isn't that interesting? I mean, this is like the inspection stations in the United States as you enter the states from like Mexico here. You call it vetting. In some of the states, I think, we're going to see this more and more, potentially, in the days to come. They're going to vet you before you're allowed into that state. They're afraid you might bring into that state, actually coming from, and you see this when you fly to different parts of the world. They're afraid you're going to bring into that country fruit flies, which might infect their orchards. So the rabbis here in this text instructed the people that they take care lest together with the herbs, and I'm quoting them, something of the dust of the heathen land might be brought, which defiles in the tent and defiles the purity of the land of Israel. It's not just talking metaphorically. They're afraid you bring in that soil, it's going to destroy their plants. So you shake the dust off your feet when somebody doesn't receive you. Jesus is using that. He's alluding to this custom when he tells his disciples that in every town or house that rejects the good news about Jesus, the gospel, is considered heathen, impure, and profane. Interesting. Now, back to our key verse, Proverbs 23, verse 9. "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." I think there are those who have reached a point, they hear this, when they're past listening. They don't listen anymore. They are calloused. They're defiant. They're irreverent. They're scornful. One writer said this. He says, you cannot reason with a fool. Fools are unreasonable. And he gives a verse. Keep your finger here. Well, just in Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 29. Interesting verse. Look at verse 9, just a few chapters later. Proverbs 29, verse 9. It says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there's no rest. This writer says, trying to win a court case with a fool. Arrogant, hardened fool is what the word means. Trying to win that court case with a fool should be avoided because he follows his emotions rather than logic. As he keeps things in turmoil, no peace, he keeps things in turmoil with his angry ranting. And that's what this says, whether he rage, rant, or laugh, there's no rest. Another writer, commentary says, Thomas says, there are those who reach an incontrovertible state. It means they come to a place where you can't change them. They're set. Their characters, he says, are stereotyped and fixed as eternity. The things that belong to their peace are hid from their eyes. And then he says they're incorrigible. That means they're hardened and curable. That's why in my life, I want to be willing to undo some things that I've been doing all my life. Amen. That are wrong. I want to be at that place where I'm willing to change some things I'm set in to be more like Christ. That's tough, isn't it? And somebody says, you can't change an old dog. Yeah, if the old dog is pliable and submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can. And we got some old dogs here tonight, me being one. I believe this verse and others like it. Tell the teacher, tell the preacher, there are times that even though you know there's a need, keep your mouth shut. Have a dignified silence about you. Now, you see this in Jesus. You see him before Herod, King Herod, Luke chapter 23, verse 9. Then he questioned him. Herod questioned Jesus with many words, but he, Jesus, answered him nothing. So I'd like to be there at that time. Just all the eyes on Jesus, but he answered nothing. He didn't have to. Remember how God responded to King Saul. 1 Samuel 28. In fact, well, let me just read it. Verse 5, it says, when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. His heart greatly trembled. And now watch this. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, and this Jehovah God, God, the Lord, answered him not. Neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. So what did Saul do? He went to the witch of Endor. We're told in the scriptures there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. Do you know where that is? Ecclesiastes 3:7. There's a time to rend, to rip apart. There's a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, Ecclesiastes 3:7. Ah, here's another passage I want you to look at. Turn to Proverbs 26. This is a passage that often is confused. There's two verses here, 4 and 5, that seem to say the opposite, but they don't. You got to look at it. Proverbs 26:4. What does it say? Answer not a fool according to his folly. Now, look at verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly. What on earth? Well, the second part of the verse explains it. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Hey, if he curses at you, don't curse back. Then you're just like him. Then it says, answer a fool according to his folly. He's in a crowd of people. He said something that will cause a lot of people to stumble. It will hurt. It will damage people. Answer. That's time when you answer, lest he be wise in his own conceit. I like what it says in Psalm 39, 1 and 2. This is a Psalm of David. says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. That's Psalm 39, verse 1. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. So here's the question. When should I speak out? When is it proper timing for me to speak? When do I answer a fool? When do I speak truth into someone's life? Well, just a couple verses. James 1, 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So be careful that you listen. Okay? Don't be quick to speak and surely slow to lose your temper. Proverbs 15:23, and we can look at this verse. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word, and we're going to camp on this for a while. A word spoken in due season, how good is it? What does that mean? A word spoken in due season. How good is it? Due season means a word spoken at the right occasion, at the very suitable moment, right timing and right approach. That's due season. Now, what does due season mean when you think about a fool? Due season means you think it through thoroughly and study it before you answer. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. That word studieth there in Hebrew means the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Study means he ponders. He meditates. He thinks it through. He carefully examines, investigates this. I've, through the years, used an illustration of a guy by the name of Christian. Christian was a tall German guy. I was a youth pastor in a church in California. Christian was one of the students in our Bible Institute. And Christian, huge guy, weightlifter. We had some guys come in, by the way, in our weight room that played football. One of the guys, a pro football player from the Broncos, would come and work out with us in California. And we'd be in there working out and talking and clanging of weights and talking about the Lord. And it was the weight room was at our church, you know, right off our gym. And Christian would come in there, and he's lifting weights, and we're talking, and we'd say, well, Christian, what do you think? What do you think about that? And we're all looking. He's just not saying a word. You see the wheels turning. Sometimes, you know, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And then he says, after giving a studied answer, he'd respond, oh, did I respect that? I respected that. So due season means you study it, you think it through before you answer. Now, due season also means you shut your mouth and wait. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his big fat mouth, shutteth his lips, is esteemed a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. Interesting. So due season, when you, it says a word spoken in due season, how good it is, due season means you be quiet, you don't say anything, and you wait. Now, due season also means you don't have to unload the whole truck. When I say that, I think of illustrations I've heard about the coal trucks that would back up to the window or the door to the basement when in the early days when houses were heated by coal, and they would unload a part of it, and there'd be some shovelfuls. And when I say you don't unload the whole truck, the guy doesn't unloose the whole back of his coal truck and dump coal so it's about 10 feet high and you can't get into your basement. So due season means you don't unload the whole truck. Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. A fool just has to talk, tell you everything he knows, everything she knows, but not a wise person. Now, a due season means you don't have to interrupt. Proverbs, you ever been around somebody who always is anxious to give their point of view? They just got to talk. They got to tell you what they think. Oh, I know. Hey, just stop talking. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. This writer, Bridges, says the safe rule will be never to speak without prayer for divine guidance and simplicity and love. Ask God for guidance. So how should I respond to this verse, Proverbs 29:20? Seest thou a man hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. I think a man, be sure I'm not a fool. I want to be wise. I want to learn to see things from God's point of view. I want to have a respect for God and His Word. I don't have to be the first to always answer. Now, due season means I give respect to God and His Word before speaking. I must learn to fear God. More important to me to honor God than that I give an immediate response. Did you hear me? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So due season means I listen for truth. I listen for truth. I like Proverbs 1:5. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. If you're wise, you're going to listen more than you speak. And you're going to increase learning. Do you have that? Do you have that spirit? God, I'm just thirsty. I don't have to talk. Let me hear the whole matter. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. This describes somebody that really has that fear of God. That means the wise person in relation to wisdom. Proverbs 2, look at verse 2. In fact, let me read through verse 6. Look at it. And it's got some things that you do. Go down to verse 5. You do these things, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So what are these things you do? Look at verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. It's like, what did you say? What did you say? Let me hear it carefully. You're listening like this. Okay, you're inclining your ear unto wisdom. You're hungry for the Word of God. And then apply thine heart to understanding. Lord, I needed that. God, help me to do that. Help me to apply this. Then look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Oh, teach me. Lord, give me more of your Word. I can't get enough. And then says, lift up thy voice for understanding. I've got to have that ability to make present decisions in light of future consequences. God, give me understanding. And then it says, you search for her, for wisdom, as for hidden treasures. Now, if you do that, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find that knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So back to this speaking in due season. Due season means I know the acceptable thing to say. Boy, there's some good verses there. Let me give you a couple of them. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what's acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. When it says the lips of the righteous know what's acceptable, that word acceptable carries the idea of a righteous person, when he speaks, knows what's adequate to say, what's pleasing to God. A word-filled, spirit-filled man will know how to see things, say things right in such a way to please God and to help people. What does that mean? He, she will know when to speak and when not to speak. How to speak and how not to speak. How much to speak and how much not to speak. It's like Ecclesiastes 9:17. What a verse. Hate to just mention it. It says, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Oh my. Sometimes a wise person speaks quietly. A ruler or authority figure speaks loud, bullying. It's better to hear the quiet words of a wise person than the loud speaking of a foolish leader. Wow. Now, let's go on. Due season means I know the acceptable thing to say. Okay? A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. One writer said, Ryrie, actually in his book, said, the fool gives vent to all his anger. He just says it. You know, by the way, you come to the fool and you say, well, why'd you say that? Man, you offended people? Well, that's just the way I am, buddy. I was brought up that way. My father was that way. I'm that way. I'm going to say, shut up. Lovingly. Well, how stupid. What you're saying is you're locked into a mannerism that's defiling people, that's offending so many people. And you're blaming your father? You're blaming this and that, and you're not taking ownership of who you are before God? Now, we're looking at Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Interesting, wisdom speaking. Here's what wisdom says, God's point of view. Here's what Jesus says, Proverbs 8:34-35. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoso findeth me, that's wisdom, that's a relationship with Christ. Whoso findeth me, findeth life, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He's always right. Can't correct him. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that hears the reproof of life abideth among the wise. You know, you just... You just spent 10 minutes rebuking me. You laid me low. And may I say something to you? Thank you. I needed that. I will think about that. Wow. Thank you that you had that courage to be transparent with me, to speak to me like that. I really am going to take it to heart. That's a wise person. The ear that hears the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Now, the other part is, he that refuses instruction, remember the two words, swift kick. I mean, some of the greatest things I've learned have come on the heels of a swift kick. You can quote me on that. He that refuses a swift kick, instruction, you refuse it, despises his own soul. You don't love your own soul if you're going to refuse it when you get the reproof of life. But he that hears reproof getteth understanding. So let's move on. Here's a question for you. Is it always right to give godly and wise advice? Yes or no? Is it always right to give godly advice? Yes or no? Hello? Yes. Yes. But it's not always the right time. I think that's key for us. Back to our key verse. Proverbs 23:9. Speak not in the ears of a fool. Don't talk. Don't communicate. Don't give counsel to the ears of a fool. A fool is someone who says no to God or says there's no God. Psalm 14, verse 1. Don't speak in the ears of a fool. Let me go off on this a little bit. A fool is, don't speak in the ears of a person who lies and slanders. That's a fool. Proverbs 10, verse 18. Don't speak in the ears of a know-it-all. That's Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. A fool utters all his mind. Don't speak in the ears of a person who doesn't respect authority. That's powerful. Proverbs 15, 5. A fool despises his father's instruction. If he doesn't obey authority, doesn't respect his father, doesn't respect what the authorities God's put over him, be careful giving that person advice. Don't speak in the ears of someone who doesn't respect authority, or don't speak in the ears of someone who doesn't plan ahead and think of the consequences of present actions. Let me put that up there. Who doesn't have understanding. It says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Here it is again. Don't speak in the ears of a person who can't stay out of other people's business. To me, this is big. Be careful speaking in the ears of someone who is a busybody. Gossip. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. A fool is a meddler. He meddles in people's lives. He's busybody, gossip. Be careful. Be careful saying something to a fool like, you know what? I'm going to share this with you, but I don't want it to get out. Be careful. Because the moment they leave your presence, they're going to get on the phone, they're going to get texting, emails. Boy, do they have juicy news. They'll probably say, well, I don't want to mention the name of this person. Well, I just had lunch with him. There's a him. And, I've said too much already. Please, promise me you won't say a word. Yeah, I won't say a word. It's Cecil Biscoe. Oh, Cecil, yeah. But be careful. You promise you won't? Yeah. You idiot. That's the worst thing you can do. If that person's a fool and a busybody, and you just be transparent with them, you know it's going to get on Facebook. It's going to get everywhere. And don't speak in the ears of a person who can't repeat a story correctly. That's me. I don't get stories right. I don't want to be a fool. But Proverbs 26:6 says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. All right? You don't want to send a message to somebody who can't get it straight. I'm always getting stories wrong, so don't share juicy gossip with me. All right? Then don't speak in the ears of a person who doesn't learn his lesson very well. It says in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Proverbs 27:22, though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Next one, don't speak in the ears of a person who trusts in himself. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart. It's like, hey, you know, what does your gut say? What do you feel about what? What's your heart feel right now? Follow your heart. That's wrong, foolish advice. The heart is desperately wicked, says God says. What's your gut? Where do you get that? Surely not in the scripture. God says he that trusteth in his gut or his own heart is a fool. But he that walks wisely shall be delivered. One writer said the heart is the great imposter. Another said, trust to the heart and you trust that which is false as a mirage in the desert. Another said, it's a common practice of our hearts to impose falsehoods on us from our youth up. So what does it mean to trust your own heart? It means to place your confidence in your own instincts, to make important decisions without seeking God's point of view. I'm just going to follow my gut here. No, you don't. Please don't. Look at the Word of God. What does God's Word say? What does godly counsel say? To trust your own heart means to disregard a multitude of counsel. It means to be proud. It means to go through your Christian life without giving yourself to private prayer. It means to serve without petition. It means to strive to please God without being filled with the Spirit. So, back to our verse, Proverbs 23, verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy word. He'll hate your advice. He'll turn on you. He'll bristle at your words. He'll turn and rend you, Jesus says. Now, there's a balancing truth to this. This is where we need wisdom. All right? There's a balance. How about the balancing truth? 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3. It says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. It means I need to always be ready to preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So God wants me always ready, in season, out of season, to preach the word. There's a balancing truth there. How about Isaiah 55, verse 11? To me, this is the balancing truth of that covers all of these, when to speak, when not to speak. Here it is. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Listen to me. You find an open heart, an opening in a person's life and heart, and God gives you that opportunity to speak the truth of God, the word of God, it will have an effect. God promises it will. Where's the balance? Well, the balance is you pray for that fool, you pray for that scorner, and ask God for an opening. You may have to watch for years. And all of a sudden, that open door, that openness to what you have to say will be there. Right there is where you give the word. Mark 16, verse 15, here it is. Jesus speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. The gospel, that's the fool as well. Ecclesiastes 3:7, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning. So we get to the end of a message. We say two words. What are they? So what? Let's hear it. So what? So what does this mean for me? What does this look like in my life? How am I going to live this? Here it is. Proverbs 23:9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Be careful. Here it is. Here's the balancing truth. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. What a prayer to pray. Psalm 141:3, God, set a watch before my mouth. Lord, you keep the door of my lips. What are you saying? God, help me to be guarded in what I say. Set a watch before my mouth. You know, James 3 says your tongue is you control your tongue, you can control your whole body. James 3 says your tongue can affect a whole nation, right? And that's where we need to pray, God, set a watch before our mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Now, having said this, this is my greatest need. I can be a rascal. How about you? I mean, I think, you know, there's times in my life, I'm growing, I'm learning, Hopefully someday I'll get to the place where I apply all of this. But it's so interesting to me that before I preach it and after I preach it, God often allows great trial in that area. And you pray for me that I would apply this. I want to be wise. And I don't want to speak in the ears of a fool. How about you? Let's pray, and then I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Father, I do thank you for your word. Oh, dear God, I pray that you'd help us to learn when to speak, when to be silent. That we'd have wisdom to see due season, the open door, and the time when not to speak. God, that you would set a watch before our mouths, our lips, and you'd keep the door of our lips open.